Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another special edition of Better on Draft. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us. This is a half episode. I don't know what one it is, but as we continue to go with so many new laws, bills, and improvement within the industry of alcohol and beer itself, we want to bring you some of the voices that are helping make that change and helping a lot of people. I did bring Matt here, who is right under me on the screen. Matt, how you doing?
You know.
What are you drinking?
I am finishing a peanut butter volcano from the Ferndale Project. I had one sitting around. It was either this or hipster brunch, and I guess you probably wanted me to be functional because that's in a 32.
I've got the Derby from Oddside in my fridge, and I'm like, ooh, odds. Oh, you know what? I'm not in the mood for an 11.5% at 5 o'clock right now on a Thursday. Maybe later tonight, but not tonight. So I started as I was prepping with the show. I'm drinking my Truly. But to stick with Michigan, I've got the Great Lakes coffee-infused hard cider. And I tell you what, not as good as the Sellerman's was, but right up there.
Is that the Griffin Claw?
No, this is the Blake's. The Blake's coffee cider. So as you can see, there is a person also on this video. We have Representative Wenzel. Did I pronounce that right?
You should have asked
before the show started. why don't you tell us your position, where you're located, who you kind of govern, and how long you've been doing that for?
Yeah, great.
Present, not govern.
Present.
Right, correct. So Pauline Wenzel, I've been in office for, I guess, about a year and a half now, so I'm in my first term, and I represent the beautiful Southwest Michigan, so along Lake Michigan, the corner down here, from Waterville all the way down to Bridgman, so about half of Berrien County, 90,000 people, is typically what, roughly, is what a state representative will represent in Lansing. And I am drinking North Pier Buck Rider, a Belgian IPA. And it's pretty good.
IPA.
I was at a fundraiser recently, and I won a, well, not super recently, before the pandemic, but I won the Wheelbarrow of Beer. So I've been finding lots of fun ones in that, and trying to work my way through that, which wasn't too hard.
Was graciously donated and paid for by somebody else, because you would not be giving away free beer.
Correct.
We do a lot within, so we actually have our March Draftness party coming up whenever COVID is over. We'll be buying a keg of Baffin beer and just giving it away to 144 brand new friends who decide.
I have a solution around that too, by the way.
Well, we'll talk about it in a second. Well, I have lots of questions. So first, you are the co-sponsor of four bills of a slew of bills. So why don't you tell us a little bit? You know, the 30-second overview of the four bills that you're trying to get passed. These are House Bills 5341 to 5344. And we will post them all in the show notes, too, so you'll be able to check them out and follow them along from the legislature.mi.gov site. So if you could just tell us a little bit about them.
Sure. So the main bill, actually, that started this whole package of 16 bills, which is a very large package of bills, came about probably 8 months or so, I don't know, now. But we were looking at self-distribution, and I'd heard from a lot of my brewers, and I'd been involved in the industry a bit before that, but we can get into that later. And so I knew the problem. I knew what they were facing, that you can only self-distribute up to 1,000 barrels, including your taproom sales. So to put that in perspective, for those that aren't familiar, the next closest state to us is 20,000 barrels. Is their self-distribution. So 1,000 versus 20,000 is pretty significant. So the first bill is very simply just ups that limit to 2,000, and also does not include taproom sales in that 2,000.
All right. And then we also have some more brewpub bills that you have. Now, my first question in regards to brewpubs is, do you think it's time to necessarily change what a brewpub is in the state of Michigan? Because they follow so many different rules than we do. And I think it's kind of an outdated thing now with the way craft beer is versus when most of these brewpubs opened in the 90s.
True. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of discussion, things like that out there that we're working on. We'd like to see changes, but again, as I figured out my first year in Lansing, everything moves slowly. It's baby steps. And this was definitely the first of hopefully many baby steps to fixing a lot of language and evolving our industry. The brewery industry is much different than it was like you said, in the 90s, it's different than it was 5 years ago. And we're one of the highest states with breweries, I think, we're third. I know we keep changing, and depending on what you're reading, it's a different number. But we just need to stay on trend with what the other states are doing so we can stay at the top of that list.
Matt?
Who do you foresee in Lansing, maybe more group-wise than actual person-wise, as an opponent or standing in the way of, I mean, these seem like pretty just keeping up with the Joneses trends, like you were mentioning. Mm-hmm. We're actually, I think, fourth per capita in brewing, and it's a huge industry for us, but we seem to still be kind of running with a parachute on our back. So do you have anybody that you foresee to be an obstacle that you have to win over, or just kind of beat them on public support?
There's always groups out there that are going to have their opposition and their worries, some of them are major groups that you've heard of, groups against drinking. You know, you've got, those are the big ones that are just kind of I'm sure we'll talk later on some legislation we're working on right now. And they're opposed to anything that, advances any kind of drinking. So they're going to be opposed in a way. And you've got, the big guys, the national brands. Sometimes, they might cause a little bit of a stink, but usually not too much.
What is the benefit of tying all of these bills together where, as we were reading them, and I want to make sure we're, correct, is as if one fails, they all fail.
Correct.
What is the benefit of tying it together versus separate?
It's not necessarily a benefit. It's just how the stakeholders pretty much wanted the bills drafted. So it's in a way a preference. I would say a lot of large bill packages like this are tie barred, is what it's called, together. So if one fails, they all fail. But it is a big bill package, and that's because there's a lot of technical fixes. And if you look at a lot of these bills, there's not much to them. It's just having to amend something that's changed in another bill, whether that's language, whether it's something usually very small. So in theory, it's really about six or seven bills, but there's a lot of technical fixes, which is what happens when you get lawyers involved in things.
Do you think there is a outlier, like a bill that a lot of people, like your weakest link, maybe the one that you guys are scared of as a group, or one that is necessarily the worry one?
That's a good question. We really haven't had much opposition. My bills were pretty straightforward and simple. I'm having to bring up some of them because there's so many I can't obviously remember
I have the list right in front of me. That's why. You guys, it'll be in the show notes, but I believe it's 5341 to 5355 and 5400, mm-hmm. I believe, yes, are in the group of bills.
And the only ones I would say that are maybe controversial would be, because a lot of them are simple. It's, less paperwork, less filing of taxes is one. It's I believe quarterly. I have to read them all over again. Which one am I looking for here? But, things like that's not controversial. Or one that I'm excited for is allowing the brewers to be able to pour at Brewers Guild events. Makes a lot of sense. So those aren't going to, people aren't going to be upset about those. The most controversial would be probably things dealing with the relationship between the manufacturer and the wholesaler.
Is that Brewers Guild events only, or is that all festivals in the state?
Brewers Guild events only, I believe.
Because we actually have hosted our own beer fest for the last few years, mm-hmm. and we've had that same issue where we have to get volunteers or employees of the – we did it over at Jimmy John Stadium, which is a baseball stadium over in Utica, mm-hmm. and we have to get someone else to pour, like they can't pour their own drink. So that always just blew my mind as to why. Now, do you go to these festivals? Have you been to these festivals before?
Oh, yes. My favorite one to go to is the one in the UP. We try to go every year. That is just amazing. So always a good time. And just just to be able to try that many beers on Lake Superior. I mean, you can't get much better than that. Great people, great food. Always have some whitefish,
obviously the follow-up question to that is that why do you think Michigan still runs on a token-based system?
Great question. And there's some legislation being worked on for that. I don't know where it's at and who has the bill right now, but be on the lookout for that. I do know that that is a something that will, I think, will go over well and probably pass.
Matt, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm just trying to put together. So where did you come from before you, you know, went to Lansing, and what's kind of your background into launching this legislation? And let's just start.
So I worked for a company called Coloma Frozen Foods, which a lot of brewers might be familiar with. We sold frozen fruits, just like it sounds. And I live in a fruit heavy area, I guess is the way you'd say. In fact, I'm sitting in the middle of an apple orchard right now at the house. And so then we started making concentrates. And that's kind of when craft brewing was taking off. I had just gotten recently graduated from college. I was very into drinking craft beer. And I said, hey, why don't we make concentrates to sell to a lot of the brewers? We were noticing some of our wineries, we have a lot of older wineries in this area. They were buying fruit from us and started buying concentrate for their wines. And I said, why not breweries? And that's kind of what started it. I started going around the state. I went to a lot of beer festivals, conferences. I went to the national conference. That was a great time. And talking to a lot of breweries. And so now we sell, in Southwest Michigan, we sell concentrates and fruits to breweries all over the country. And actually all over the world, for that matter.
So no matter when you invite us to your house, I open up your fridge. What beer am I always seeing the second I open up your fridge?
Well, I wouldn't say it's always there because
you drink it
all. It's hard to get your hands on sometimes, but Arclight's, any of their sours, I love all of their sours. So we actually provide all the fruit for their sours, and they're great. So if I can ever, I usually try to have some of those around. And very into ciders, so we do have a lot of apples down here. Actually, I was just talking to some farmers earlier today, and we're talking that the apple crop is not good. So that might be a little tough. We're already having people contact us about, because cider has taken off, and getting apples for cider could be a potential problem coming up here.
You sadly don't have Buchanan in your territory, do you, for Lehman's?
No, just a little out.
Just a little out. Yeah, it's, I mean, when we're on the, obviously the east side of the state, so it's a little more condensed with all of our representatives and where they represent. So, you know, it's kind of hard to when you're trying to see what you're representing on different areas, you have much bigger territory than where I am. I'm in Ypsilanti. Matt, you're over on the shores. What is your main, why did all of these bills start coming to fruition at this time? Was it because the restaurants need the bailout? Was it just kind of happenstance that it was all happening at this time? Because you talked about the state going at a very slow pace, but it seems like a lot of these bills have started gaining traction and started getting passed pretty fast.
Yeah, so it was kind of unfortunate that the pandemic happened right as these were, in fact, the week that they were supposed to be up in the Senate, they had already passed out of the House, is when we shut down. And so they got stalled out then. So I actually had, this was all happening well before that. It's nice now that the help comes when our breweries and wineries are really going to need that help. But it started, like I said, about 8 months ago. And it was really, I know there's some chatter amongst some brewers. And I am friends with the owners of Arclight. And they reached out to me and said, hey, what can you do for us? So I started the wheels turning, and it's a slow uphill process. And when it comes to alcohol related bills, a lot of times we like to package them together because, like I said, there's so many changes that could happen that would be good for the industry. And instead of just doing one bill at a time, because the process is so long, if we can get four or five or six together, it's just better for everybody.
What is your dream in regards to updating the MLCC code? What other bills do you want to get into there to help fix problem areas you see?
That's a tough one. I mean, one that I never thought I'd see actually come to fruition that is probably going to here in a week or two is the social districts, the drinking. Downtown Ohio's been doing it for a few years. They figured it out. If they can do it, we can do it. But we just always, before I was around even, people would bring it up and they would just push back, no chance of it happening. But now, because of circumstances changing, social distancing to be the key, I think it's going to happen. So that will be helpful.
Do you think that a lot of these things are going to be band-aids that we just rip off in a few years? We're just going to put a timer on them? Or are we looking at
some others that happened, but this I do know, and again, this can change because it's just got out of the House Reform Committee, which means that it has to go to, Ways and Means, and then to the floor, and then over to the Senate. So in that amount of time, it could get changed a lot, but there was a sunset on it, I believe, which is exactly what that is, a timeline that it can end, and they took the sunset out. So right now, there is no end for that particular bill.
So just for people listening, that is HB 5781. That was brought up by Representative Michael Weber, who was on the show 219 and 0.5. So go check that out too. And you could talk about, you can actually listen to a little bit more about that bill. Matt's been pro social district for so long. When Matt was on our show weekly, I can't tell you how many times he brought up, I don't know how familiar you are with the downtown Detroit area, but the Greektown area or Eastern Market, I think he just, mm-hmm. you know, shut off the roads and let everyone go drink.
How do you, so I used to actually sell beer. I was a rep. I did party stores and restaurant bars for a while. How do you feel this might be a past question, so Ken might dump it. How are the beer and wine wholesalers, do you feel, lining up with or without this bill? Feel free to say pass if you have to.
They're very supportive of the bill.
I'm curious about that. Even the 2,000 limit one, because I mean, you're still, you mentioned the nearest state is 20,000, and we're still 1/10 that what we're asking for. Now, only 10 breweries in the state of Michigan, I believe, go over 10,000, and a lot of them are in-house sales in the first place. And those in the state of Michigan, you look at Barrel and Beam. Barrel and Beam was self-distro for a while, and they realized they can't do that anymore because they're up in BFE compared to the rest of the state. Why did we go so short with 2,000? Why couldn't we get a little bit more? Or was it, how did that number appear?
So in Lansing, in any job, I guess it's a lot of compromise. Higher would have been good, but at the same time, when we looked at the numbers and we ran the numbers, like you just said, I forget how many it is, over 10,000. But once you get to 2,000, that's the magic number that they feel, or we felt, that the breweries are established. So they're established enough that they have a following, that when their product is in stores, people know them, they're going to buy it. And once you get to that point as well, you're kind of done with self-distributing, like you just said. So when I worked at Coloma Frozen Foods, we distributed our own fruit line for a long time, and it got too much because of all the regulations on trucking now, just all of that. We were here to make a good product. We didn't want to be in the distribution business. And a lot of brewers are the same way. Once they get to that threshold, you know, and taking away the taproom sales too will help that significantly, because we had breweries around me that were almost at 1,000 just in taproom sales alone.
Yeah, so if we're looking at breweries that are currently open right now, and this includes like conglomerates like Northern United, I'm trying to, like, all the Atwaters together, all the Saugatucks together. So we have 37 breweries right now that are based on 2019 numbers that are over 2,000, period. So that doesn't include anything else other than the fact that they made 2,000 barrels and sold 2,000 barrels. So we have 10 who are above 10,000, which, I mean, these are the names that you're not going to be too, you know, you're going to think about: Founders, Bell's, New Holland, Shorts, Atwater, right. Old Nation, Perrin, Saugatuck, Griffin Claw, and Keweenaw. So those are the ones that are over 10,000. They're actually over 12,000 based on the numbers, thanks to the Brewers Association. We were able to get all those numbers, so we were able to figure that out. I was just curious, because again, like that whole thing, and we in the east side of the state, we had Eastern Market Brewing, who is a huge proponent of trying to get that bill passed and trying to get something going with that. Obviously, I'm sure you're aware of them, and they were part of that, at least on this side. I was just curious, because it just seems like such a low number when you come in and you say, you know, oh, the nearest state is 20,000, we're going to give you two. When you're running the numbers, are you seeing like there's enough in-house sales that if you're over 2,000, you're just going to distro anyways? Or did you get any feedback from brewers who would be over 2,000 that still want to self-distro?
We did. And there were a lot were happy with this number. Some were still saying, you know, push for more. And you know, it was a process. And we sat down with all the stakeholders and we worked out a number, and that's the number we came to. And like I said before, you know, what I learned in Lansing, or what I've learned, one of the many things is baby steps. You know, it was, if you know, the 500 more that we maybe would have pushed for, is it worth it to stall this whole thing out and then get nothing? You know, and so a lot of times my job is just balancing that. And those are decisions that come down sometimes solely to me. And I have to look at that and say, is it worth it to push for more, or are we happy where we're at versus Nothing at all.
Do you think it was worth it, or do you think you could have pushed harder?
I think it was worth it.
All right.
I think where we've come is a very good good step in the right direction. I think this will help our brewers in a lot of ways, just with, you know, being more competitive with other states in the whole country, and just brings a lot of, well, hopefully helps a lot of them right now in the situation that we're in, grow their brand name, grow their businesses. That's what it's all about.
Matt?
So you mentioned that the token system, you foresee that going away. Is there any other changes you see on the horizon that you can't exactly tell us that are happening or might be kicked around, but you can kind of infer other changes that might be going on behind closed doors, at least considered?
I mean, the big one was the social districts. I know that Senator Nesbitt had a bill that I believe was just passed out today or yesterday, on the price of liquor. That's more for, you know, our bars and things, but the price that they buy that from the state at. So it's going to help significantly. And it's really hard to say, because right now, virtually, we're in a crisis, or we're coming out of a crisis. And things that you never thought could be accomplished before can sometimes happen, hence the social districts. So without revealing any more than that, I'd say that, yeah, be on the lookout. There could be some good changes coming because of the health. That, I mean, some of the numbers I'm hearing are terrifying. I've heard that 1 in 3 breweries, or 1 in 4, depending who you're talking to, will never reopen. Same, wineries aren't much better than that. Those numbers seem high, and I hope that's not true. But bars and restaurants, similar numbers. We haven't had any that are not opening yet in my district, but time will tell. I know that they were hurt a lot by our tourist season, where you get all the Chicago tourism down here, and they've been hurt by that. And then Indiana, we're on the border. They've been open up a long time. They were open up before us, and so a lot of people were going there. I know that I follow a lot of those breweries and wineries on my Facebook, and I saw they were all open and selling and making money.
Yeah, so you did get the name right. It was Nesbitt in regards to the upcoming bill in regards to the discounts on liquor. I believe it's up to 30% within the actual discounts. We have someone on the inside, you could say, over at Lansing right now that gives us a lot of information that tells us, you know, what we can and what we can't say, which is perfectly fine, because our job here isn't necessarily – our job's here to promote the industry as a whole and make it succeed. We want it to succeed. You know, those numbers that you saw, I know those numbers you saw were Brewers Association polls. From actual brewers and what the brewers say, you know, hey, I can't make it if this lasts another 3 months or another 6 months. You know, we just had over by Matt, Ricolt Meads, their tasting room shut down, but they're still going to be making mead. You know, there's a handful of breweries that are closing. So I know this year is just going to be, for lack of better words, just a shit show, of what's that?
A correction.
I mean, yes and no. I understand where you're going with that. That I think maybe too many breweries are opening a lot of it with just money and not necessarily the brew skills. Mm-hmm. We don't want anyone to, like, you know, when they open up a brewery, to wreck their ship, you know, crash it or anything like that within the industry itself. Going back, I need a personal question. You know, we're talking all this government stuff. What's your opinion on seltzers?
Oh my gosh, I love them so much. I absolutely love them. So we have Arclight actually makes great seltzers. I can't believe how delicious they are. And I was, well, before COVID happened, I actually went to kind of a beer show in Grand Rapids. And I was very happy to see that all the local breweries, pretty much all of them, had some form of seltzer. So I got to try a lot of those. And we might be having a little gathering here soon. And we were thinking about getting a keg of seltzer.
Great Grand Rapids wine and
it was
liquor.
Yeah, the wine and at the museum. Mm-hmm.
I went to that festival. I was thoroughly displeased with the beer section.
It is small.
It not necessarily small, but for the same tokenage, over at the beer area, I was able to go get a shot over at New Holland Distillery or Copper Craft or whatever, and I'm like, do I want 3 ounces of, you know, Reputation or whatever beer, or do I want, you know, a 3/4 ounce pour of liquor? That's the one thing I just didn't like. It just didn't seem like it weighed correctly in regards to the ticket system, because they were the same tickets. whatever tickets you bought over at the beer place is the same tickets you went in the wine. I think if you were a wine connoisseur, though, that place is your jam.
Oh,
that
yeah.
place had so many great, not great, I don't know anything about wine, but so many wines for you to try. I definitely stayed over in the liquor area. So yes. you're a fan of seltzers. I think mm-hmm. Transient just launched their seltzer here. I believe so. Either Transient or Speciation, now that I'm second guessing mm-hmm. myself. It's one of the two. So if it's, you know, anyone that's complaining in the comment section, I just don't care. Other than your territory, where's your go-to brewery? Which one do you like to visit the most?
Oh, that's a tough question.
On the spot.
I know. I get to Grand Rapids quite a bit.
Okay.
So I frequent some of those. Let me think. I've been to a few on the east side. When I was working and selling concentrates to a lot of the breweries, I made it around to a lot. So I'm trying to think back in those days of what was my absolute favorite. Oh man. I love the UP though. The Upper Hand.
Upper Hand.
That's fun. I like the concept that you can only drink those beers there. I think that's kind of a neat concept, but outside of my district. Yeah, I like Right Brain. I had an asparagus. I think it was Right Brain, the asparagus beer. Do you remember this one?
I don't, but you have.
So we're asparagus farmers. So for me, and I love asparagus. So I was like, oh, that's the coolest concept. I didn't love it. I'm not going to lie, but I like that they tried. I don't remember if we made the concentrate for them. The weirdest concentrate we ever made, somebody wanted, well, cucumber, which there's a lot of cucumber beers. What's the one in Jackson, Michigan?
Grand River.
Grand River. I like Grand River a lot. We made a cucumber concentrate for them, and it was terrible. Cucumbers are almost all water. So if you can imagine when you concentrate it down, it is not good. It does not smell good. I won't say what it smells like, but it's not anything you want to smell. Same thing with watermelon. So it was fun experimenting with some of those along with, you know, all of the, like, I think, as you guys probably know, fruit beers kind of took off more recently than the breweries. Breweries opened up, they're making more traditional style beers, and then the fruit beers started happening. And that's when we really got involved in making the concentrates, and people were coming at us with some of the weirdest things you'll ever imagine. Like jalapeno, that's one that you don't really want to make a concentrate of. That's almost like lethal, I think.
Like you mentioned watermelon and cucumber, and there's out of Elk Brewing, there's a Goza, there's their watermelon cucumber Goza, which is mm-hmm. probably one of my favorite beers. I had it at a summer beer fest in Ipsy, and when it's 90 something outside and the sun is pouring on you and you just want something nice, crisp, and easy to drink, that was perfect. Matt, yes. Do you have any questions for our guest?
You know, I've been trying to figure, you know, things out because, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and yield my time.
You're gonna yield your time. All right. That's gonna do it. Representative Wenzel, what can we do to help you get these laws passed?
Contact your local breweries and have them contact their representative and say, these are great bills, please vote yes. That's the best thing. When we hear from our constituents on an issue that this is something that they need and want and would be good for them, that means a lot to us. And that's what we're up here doing, is trying to represent the constituents. And so if you can do that, if you can get a hold of your elected officials, senators and representatives, because it's already passed. This set of bills have already passed out of the House. So they'll be up in the Senate soon. Get a hold of your senators and let them know that this is good.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this special edition of Better on Draft. I appreciate you, Representative, for coming on and sharing us some wisdom, talking some beer with us. Obviously, it's always good to see a fellow beer drinker drink beer with us on this show. And that's going to do it. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's
Better on Draft.
Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Thank you.